तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना युगे युगे शंभवानि युगे युगे हरेर नाम हरेर नाम हरेर नामैर केवलम् कलौ नास्तेव नास्तेव नास्ते गतिरन्यथा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण Welcome to this weekly Krishna Consciousness program. And once again, I'd like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coltsville Riverhead Highway, where every Sundays we hold a special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by Aarti of their lordships at 12:30. And then we have a discourse on Krishna Consciousness. And we finish the day's program with vegetarian feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, find out for yourself what is Krishna Consciousness all about. And next week we'll have a very special guest. His Holiness Vedvyas Priyaswami will be here in town from Friday to Monday. And on Saturday he'll be at the temple in the evening, joining the appreciation night, and on Sunday morning he'll give the Bhagavatam class and midday class. Please come along, join us, and hear him about Krishna consciousness. Remember, His Holiness Vedvyas Priyaswami will be here on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And from here he's going down to Wellington. I'll continue the Ramayana recitation. This is the time when King Dashrath, the king of Ayodhya, is decided to coronate Lord Ram as the king of Ayodhya. Ayodhya citizens consider Ram as the greatest of all Ikshvaku kings. A great person is labeled prodigiously only if he is combinations of three virtues: magnificent talent, right attitude, and a spotless character. Ram embodied all three of virtues. Talent is like a sword, not to be merely admired but to be actually used. Just as Ram's quiver is equipped with multiple arrows, his personality is equipped with multifarious talents. Ram not only knew all the Vedas by wrote, he also knew how to apply them. His skillful use of all celestial weapons was not an arrogant display of power, but a premeditated show of care. His excellence in singing was no superficial melody, but a love-awakening and hope-giving euphony. His oratory wasn't a long, winding river of discourse, but eloquent drops of nectar. His grasp of public administration was abetted by a very balance of reward to the virtuous and reprimanded to the wicked, avoiding excesses in either side. Attitude. Talent without right attitude is like sweet rice without sugar. Talent brings one to the brink of the bridge to success, and right attitude helps one across, help ones to cross it. The symptoms of disease of vanity is the desire to approach by others. Rather than to approach others, the sweet smiling Ram vaccinated himself against the disease and initiated discussions using the elixir of humility. The symptoms of the disease of the intellectual snobbery is extreme self-reliance. Ram was immune to his disease because he gulped down the amalgam of submissive inquiry from three sources: the experiences, why you breathe, those possessing the wealth of age, the wise, jnana vridhi, those possessing the wealth of knowledge, and the cultured, shila vridhi, those possessing the wealth of character. The symptoms of the disease of insensitivity is extreme self-concern and sheer indifference towards others. Ram was untouched by this disease because of the tonic of empathy he had obtained by partaking in the joys and sufferings of his people. Ram kept his mind well healthy with the vitamin of gratitude for all those who did him good. Even if only once, and eliminated the toxins of lapses towards him. Character. Talent and attitude take one to success, but character helps one maintain it. Spotless character is tripod of self-control, honesty, and integrity. Nature puts an ordinary piece of coal through the extreme pressure of transform it into the most precious jewel. To transform it into the most precious jewel. When an ordinary human happily subjects himself to the pressure of self-control, he transforms himself to the man of a spotless character. An elephant has two sets of teeth, a useless set, just for show, because this cannot be used for eating, and a useful set to actually chew food. Just like the elephant, a man who lacks integrity has two sets of value systems, one for preaching, high standard, and another for practice, compromise standard. Ram's life was an open book. He chose to embrace invaluable principles and demonstrate integrity rather than make a compromise for self-interest and personal convenience. Rama's connections with the truth was the same as a cuckoo's connection to a sweet song, pleasant and constant. One of the kings present in the assembly compared Ram to the moon when it came to making people happy, to the earth when it came to forgiveness, to the sun when it came to his radiance, to Brahaspati, the guru of the gods in heaven, when it came to wisdom, and to Indra, the king of gods, when it came to courage. Everyone took this opportunity to shower praises to Ram. An elderly minister rose tears of affection in his eyes and said that the entire kingdom was praying for Ram. Across every state and every little hamlet, and young and old were praying for Ram through the day. This observation touched Dasharatha. So many blessings for his son. All those praises from all those eminent people and the buoyant mood of everyone in the assembly was insensitive enough for a beaming Vasishtha. The spiritual guru of Dasharatha and the entire Ikshvaku dynasty to get up and speak. Dasharatha, rest assured that your decision to step down and hand over the reins to Ram is not only acceptable to everyone but also highly desired by all. We are waiting to see Ram seated under the white umbrella ride on the royal elephant across the streets of Ayodhya. In fact, we wish to see this lion of Ayodhya astride an elephant, historic. Vasishtha's assurance filled Dasharatha with immense hope and happiness. He quickly tried to make a rough calculation to compare the amount of joy he experienced now with that of the happiest moments of his life. This was twice the joy of hearing about Ram's birth, thrice the joy of Ram's marriage, four times the joy of Ram breaking Lord Shiva's vow, and five times the joy of Parshuram's defeat. Such relief! A huge burden was taken off Dasharatha's head. He suddenly felt giddy and happiness because his mind stopped tormenting him as soon as the court seconded his decision. He thanked everyone profusely for obliging and concurring with his decision. Let the celebrations begin. No more delays. Let the coronation take place the very next day, Dasharatha declared and walked off with Sumantra, his confidant, charioteer and minister, following closely behind. Vasishtha plunged into action right away. An executive organizing committee was formed. The finest quality of rice, milk and yogurt were picked for distribution to the 100,000 Brahmins. A host of things included gold, diamonds, worship paraphernalia, hundreds of natural herbs, floral garlands, corn, herbs, honey, clarified butter, new clothes, chariots and all kinds of weapons, four divisions of army, an elephant with special auspicious signs, a white fan, a flagstaff, a white umbrella, 100 shiny golden pots, a bull with gilded horns, a complete tiger skin were listed for procurement before the dawn. All doorways in the kingdom, including that of the royal palace, were to be swathed in sandalwood paste, decorated with floral garlands and smoked with fragrant scents. Prayers and oblations were to be carried out in every temple in Ayodhya with great pomp and reverence. Musicians and dancers were to perform in all corners of Ayodhya, starting right away and make it to the royal palace by dawn. The list was endless. Despite his age, the enthusiastic Vasishtha went on and on, poring over every tiny detail with great gusto. This was no ordinary occasion. For many, it was an once-in-a-lifetime event. While Vasishtha was busy making arrangements for the following day's ceremony, Dasharatha entered his private quarters with Sumant. At last, he was free to speak his mind and express his emotions without the pressure of being watched by all. With tears of joy in his eyes, Dasharatha ordered Sumantra to beckon his life, Rama, to his presence. About 200 yards from him, Dasharatha could see greenish beacon, effulgence like the sun blinking atop a golden frame. It took a while for the frail and world-weary eyes of King to realize that the gold-green light was actually the radiant body of his oldest son, Rama, dismounting gracefully from his golden chariot with the help of Sumantra. Such beauty, how could anyone take his or her eyes off this boy? 2.5 decades had passed by just looking at him, but now time stood still upon seeing Ram. Dasarath had the most beautiful queens of this world for wives and the most beautiful objects to behold. Yet all those beauties could not hold his attention. But it was different with Ram. He never tired of looking at his beautiful son. As the world's famous hero, Ram was getting off the chariot holding its mark. Dasarath's eyes went up to the flag fluttering on top of the chariot. Soon that flag would bear the royal emblem. The moment Ram stepped onto the ground, it seemed to light up. His walk resembled the vigorous gait of an elephant. His long arms draped in silk reached his knees. His announcing face resembled the moon and was held high, as if challenging the moon that was now hiding. Carefully protected with the bimba fruit, red lip was a row of teeth, shiny as pearl. Am I touching silk or is it butter? Wondered Sumantra, as Ram held him while dismounting from his chariot. How could these soft, delicate hands have broken Lord Shiva's mighty bow? As Ram alighted the steps towards Dasarath's palace, Sumantra followed him with folded hands, gazing meditatively at his delicate feet, which seemed to dance as tiny as they climbed the royal steps. Ram's lotus feet took Sumantra back to the time by half an hour. Ram, Sita and Lakshman were talking to each other, smiling. Sumantra had literally barged into Ram's palace and interrupted this happy discussion. But the three of them immediately rose from their seat and offered their respect to the elderly and wise minister. His presence heralded an instruction from the king. Soon Sumantra was Ram's charioteer. Sumantra was more elated to hear that Ram would be king than he would have been had he himself been made king of the universe. Sumantra's joy increased manifold. When he saw the effect of Ram's chariot trip to Dasarath's palace had on the citizens of Ayodhya, drum beats and loud music ushered the chariot along every street. People seemed to say that they were now in safe hands, protected from all misery. Sumantra noticed the scintillating effect Ram's charm had on Ayodhya's damsels, who shed their shyness and ran like deer to keep pace with Ram's chariot so that they could see his lotus face for a little while longer. Their eyes were like darts piercing Ram's shiny body and lotus-like face. Ram's looks were driving everyone crazy. The minds of the girls were swept away by overflowing love and tore down discipline and etiquette just as a gushing river breaks the embankment. Their shamelessness surprised them. Even the man was reeling under the effect of Ram's personality. He was robbing the eyes and minds of all of Ayodhya with his beauty, his generosity and his virtues. Ayodhya's men behaved like cows separated from their calves and chased Ram's chariot just as they had chased butterflies in their childhood. Sumantra thought it was comical. So many royals running like crazy people. As Ram passed by, a wave of calm swept across the minds of people. in the way cool breeze would bring relief to people scorched by summer's heat. From atop tall buildings and palaces, flowers rained down from the hair of girls beaming, leaning over their windows trying to catch glimpses of Ram. Some even swooned, seeing Rama's broad chest adorned with a beautiful garland of fresh lotus flowers. Sumantra noticed that streets of Ayodhya were strewn with flowers. It seemed as though even the gorgeous followers showered some praise on Ram. "Accept my respect, O Lord of Ayodhya." The sweet voice of Rama's voice boomed across the room as he bowed down in veneration in front of his father with folded hands. The melodious voice brought Sumantra back to the present. Dasharatha lifted Ram up and pulled him close to his bosom. The loving embrace suddenly turned into a test. The mighty arm Dasharatha tightened his grip to assess Rama's physical prowess. Now that Ram was expected to carry the burden of the world, would his chest and shoulders have enough power in them? As Dasharatha crushed the delicate body of Ram, he could sense the resilience and power beneath the soft exterior. Even a quarter of the power he had used in that embrace would have crushed an ordinary human. But Ram was oblivious of everything. All he felt was his father's loving embrace. "Bravo, my son," Dasharatha thought. Dasharatha released his bear hug and gently ushered Ram to the gilded throne in his palace and sat beside him, pouring out his heart. The delight on Dasharatha's face upon seeing Ram was the same as seeing one's happy reflection in the mirror. Dasharatha lifted his index finger and said, "Deep gratitude, that's what I feel towards the gods for having allowed me to live and rule this long. In all these years, I have carefully struck off all the five deaths of a human being incurred by performing sacrifices. I am no more indebted to the celestials. By studying the scriptures, I have fulfilled my debt to those sages who wrote them and taught them. By donating wealth and food, I have repaid my debt to the Brahmins. By relishing in the comforts of desire, I have fulfilled my debt to myself. And of course, by begetting a wonderful son like you, the debt to ancestors too have been realized. I seem to have only one duty left to complete. Place the imperial crown on your head. Everyone in Ayodhya wants to witness it. And this will be the fulfillment of my life's greatest dream too. I consider you a good friend, so I wish to say a few things, although I am aware you already know of it. Yet, as your friend, it is my job to help you understand your responsibilities. A just ruler happily sacrifices the self at the pyre of the world peace. The two swords that dangle above the leader's head are the desire and anger. A good leader keeps these swords from felling himself with the help of shields of satisfaction and patience. The secret of a leader's success lies in his able ministry and not his personal talent. Keep the minister satisfied in every possible way, directly or indirectly. A leader without followers is no leader at all. A leader's ability to allow always weigh against the satisfaction of his followers. Keep the people happy through well-thought administrative schemes or ever brimming coffers and easy accessibilities. Saying so, Dasharatha rose and began walking. walking restfully, restlessly across the room. He was not sure about how to convey the message he actually wanted to. Ram understood that there was more to this conversation. If it was such a happy occasion, after all, why was his father upset and worried? A happy man does not behave this way. What was behind this mask of happiness? Dasarath opened up. He told Ram that at this point in time, his life was like a mother's, who, though happy at the thought of giving birth, is still writhing in labor pain, is unsure whether to smile or cry. As he paced the room, Dasarath clenched his fist as if to stop the flow of time and mentioned that bad signs were haunting him. He described all his horrifying nightmares and ill omens he had spotted over the last few days and the following metro, and even the royal astrologers predicted that the planets Rahu and Mangal were stealthily approaching his birth star. These omens implied that the king would either die or meet with a fatal accident. Dasarath told Ram that he could no longer trust his own mind. These days it seemed to have a life of its own. He wanted to crown Ram king before his mind forced him to change his decision. His mind right now was as restless as as strong as an elephant and turbulent as an ocean and stubborn as the bull. How could any sane human rely on something so unpredictable? He wanted to expedite things while he still had some control over his unstable mind. It has to happen tomorrow, Dasarath concluded. We'll stop there. Continue next week. Let's have some kirtan.
Prabhu Nanda Shuta Rishabhanu Juta Yuta Korona Koro Hoyima Narottamo Dasho Goy Nathili Ho Ranga Pa Toma bina ke ashe ama Hori hori Bipale janam Gongaina